Hi, welcome into the garage. I'm your host, Jim O'Brien. Big Jim's house, host of morning show in Detroit at WCSX. You're checking it out there. Huge IndyCar fan. I've been an IndyCar fan since I was five. So obviously, this is the week, man. So much going on. You think about this next burst of racing. You've got the Indy 500 as we record this Sunday coming up. And then you got two races here in the Motor City where we're at. The Detroit Grand Prix, DetroitGP.com for that as well. You got races for Texas coming up. So within a two-week period, you have four chances of points. Think about it. You get double points for Indy and then the two races in Detroit. So obviously IndyCar is the big story, and had a chance to come out here in the Motor City to the Detroit Historical Museum and talk with a lot of the drivers out there. Johnny Taylor was there from IMSA. You know who he is. Johnny O'Connell, who's the winningest driver in Detroit Grand Prix history. Six wins. But the guy, I got to be honest, as soon as I saw him, I had to talk with him. So this week, we're going to share conversations with four-time Indy 500 winner, six-time pole sitter at Indy, Rick Mears. And then after that, Graham Rahal, driving the number 15 for Rahal Letterman, and just a neat guy, too. If you think about what he did, and we'll get into it in the conversation, they were in the field last Saturday, and then they decided they wanted to make their position a little bit better, and they went for it. That's crazy, but they did it, and apparently it wasn't unanimous. We'll get to that, but first, talking with the one and only four-time winner, Rick Mears.
How did you make it look so easy at Indy? And I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't. But my God, you look so smooth on the track.
Well, a lot of that was kind of my natural driving style. And the speedway seemed to suit me more naturally than the slower the corner, the tighter the track, the more I had to learn it. I had to work harder at that. But the speedway, it's, you know, you get on speedway, especially, and that's what helped, is that being smooth and driving with your fingertips rather than your hands, you could trim the car out more and get it closer to the limit. You know, the rougher you are, the more overkill you need in downforce so you can't yank it loose or whatever. And so being smooth is just part of what helped.
But like even Danny Agais was one of the greatest qualifiers ever. But Danny, it didn't translate to the race. You translated it to the race. Was that part of just being part of Penske with the equipment?
Everything. All the above. You know, just and Lady Luck on top of that. You know, it takes everything. And, you know, having the right tools. Nobody can put the number on the board unless they've got the right tools to do it with. And that's where Penske, you know, the team always gave me the equipment I need to be able to do what I needed to do. So, but it's the team, it's following the track conditions, it's me staying out of trouble. I always worked the first half to get to the second half, and then the second half to get to the front if we weren't there already.
So you broke the race in half. You split in half.
Basically, okay. Yeah. I basically did that on every race.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you only need to lead one lap.
That's a good point.
You know, it's not brain surgery. You know, all you need to lead is one lap. And I can lose it in the first lap. So I always spent the first start of the race, you never know what the track conditions are, you never know what the tires are, you know, a lot of variables. So everything's cold, you're cold, the car is cold, the shocks are cold. So the first couple laps, you know, I didn't need to lead. I need to know where I'm at. And then as I start running and I start getting everything, I get myself acclimated, see where the track is, see what the car is doing on the track. Start thinking about the changes I want to make at the first stop, you know, and then as time goes on, the fuel load goes down, tires start going off, balance starts changing. Okay, now as we get closer to the first stop, I got an idea of what I want to change to make it better, and I'm relaying that to the team as we go, you know, and they figure out and look at what kind of changes we need to make the first stop, and then we run the next stint and do the same thing over again, you know, and then hopefully with each stint you're making it better and better and better. But as long as I'm staying in touch, that was the main thing, stay in touch. And then hopefully by the time you get started into the second half, you're already up front somewhere, close to it.
Right.
And then you start leaning on a little harder, taking a little more risk, using equipment a little bit more, whatever, to get yourself to the front if you aren't there yet. And it was all about boiling down to being in position for the shootout at the end.
You and Sneva and John.
I don't make it to the shootout.
Right.
Doesn't do any good.
But there was always a group of drivers like you at the time that were always there at the end, and maybe you all had that same mindset.
I guess. I don't know. I can't, you know, I don't know what they were thinking, but, I mean, that's what, you know, and you got to, it's like playing cards. You don't show your hand all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, I didn't want to show my hand till after the last stop.
Well, that was, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking about when we watched Alonso, and obviously you were kind of busy, but I was watching him use the weight jacker, and as much as he was manipulating the car while he's driving, you were the polar opposite of that. When, as fans, as we're watching, how much is he really changing the car? How much of that is, I guess, frustration that the car's not doing what he wants to?
No, if like qualifying, I'm changing everything I can change every corner.
Okay.
You know, I mean, but we didn't have as many things to change back then. You know, a couple of roll bars, front and rear. But to me, it was more of changing my line to balance the car. I'd go through the tools and until I learned what I needed, you know. But hopefully, if I had it right in qualifying, we were down to a point that I hopefully wasn't going to need a lot of changing. With the car itself, I could do what I need to with my pattern to make the difference I needed.
So is it like with a lot of times at Indy, like during the race, it's, I see like Graham Rahal's here, and his entry point is really early on some of them. When we notice as fans, again, watching, would you look during the course of a race to go, where's he going, and try to find out what they're doing a little different?
No, I knew where I wanted to go.
Okay.
And what I thought was best. And I always worked to try to get the car to do that. And it's leading up to qualifying, I worked to get the car to go where I want it to go. When it comes to qualifying, once qualifying starts, or the race itself, now I've got to go where the car wants to go. It's an opposite mindset. You flip it.
Okay.
You know, leading up to time to go, I'm trying to make the car do what I want it to do because I know the pattern I want to run that I think is best. And so I'm trying to make the car do that. And I get it as close to that as I can. But then once the green flag drops, fortunately, we get to make stops and make some changes. But like, say, Indy Lights guys, when I was helping them out a little bit, those kids, are, you know, they don't get to make a stop during the race. So what they start with is what they've got. So that's what I used to tell them. I said, okay, you guys are relying on your engineers all the time. You're always saying, my engineer needs to do this, he needs to do that. Well, yeah, in practice, you want your engineer to do what you need to do. But I said, when that green flag drops and you roll out, you're the engineer. He's in there. So the only way you can change anything is by you changing it.
I love what you
pattern.
And I love what you said. It was so funny to me, even here, as we're talking about Detroit and Belle Isle and the history of Detroit racing, you said Senna, and there's like a hush crowd. It, just the mention of his name, even the fact that you were around him. It's so cool that you're kind of in that air, if you don't, Rick. I mean, come on, four times at Indy?
Well, you know, we're right place, right time, very lucky.
Okay.
Good people.
But what was it about Senna that even, like, just to be around him, to say you were at the same track with him?
Well, he's just a hell of a driver. You know, I mean, that's one of the world's best. So that's just, you know, not much more can be said than that. He's just a true talent. You know, when he did the test for us in the car, you know, I could tell right within a few corners, you know. Yeah, he's a racer.
Wait a minute. You were there when he did the test for Penske?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How close was that to ever happening? Because we always hear it different. It depends who you ask.
I don't know. I wasn't behind the scenes in that, really, so I don't know how close it was. I don't know, you know, if it was ever really going to be or not, or if he was doing it for a leverage deal or what. I don't know the details of it. You know, Emerson was closer to it than I was. But, no, he's just, you know, there are racers and then there are racers. And he was a racer, a real racer, you know, and that's, you can see it right off the bat.
Well said. Have fun at Indy, and we'll
no
see
problem.
You here. Rick Mears, it's an honor.
Thank you. Thanks. Very much. Appreciate it.
There he is, Rick Mears, man. Four-time winner and just a cool dude. Just a cool guy, exactly the way you'd expect him. Speaking of cool guys, I want to tell something about Graham Rahal. Graham Rahal was here for a media day. You know, on that Tuesday before the Indy 500, they send the drivers all over the country, and Pat and everybody there do an amazing job with IndyCar to make them available. So Graham comes up here because he won both races at the Detroit Grand Prix in 2017. No one's ever done that. And the fact that he did it in one weekend is just crazy, especially the week after the Indy 500. And he dominated here. I think at one point he was up like 26 seconds in the second race. But he'd already done his media stuff for the day. He talked on video interviews and all these different things. And I had unfortunately had a chance to talk with him. So I saw him. He was getting ready to eat some lunch. And I can only imagine the travel schedule is insane. He stopped and took time to talk to some schlub in Detroit like me. And Graham Rahal is just a good guy. And you can see it in the way he's driving now. He's getting better and better. And I would not be surprised if he comes from towards the back and wins the Indy 500. But we were talking about, I know he's a Honda driver, but he's got one of the new Acura NSXs. and he posts amazing pictures of it, but he never brings it with him. So, I wanted to borrow the car.
I've got that in Indy, and I love that car. I actually drove it to the airport this morning before I came up here. So, it's a cool beast.
It's our new feature, Behind Enemy Lines with Graham Rahal here in Detroit with all the Chevrolet people, man. You very, very polite, very reserved.
Well, I have tremendous respect, you know, for the group at Chevy. And, you know, Mark Royce is one of my favorite people in the whole world because I love his passion, and I love his excitement, his energy for the brand as well as, you know, for racing in general. I wish that we had more guys like him in the automotive space. But obviously, you know, being a Honda guy, you know, our job is to come here and win. And so we've had success here before. Honda swept the weekend last year as well, I think, with Dixon and Hunter Ray. And, you know, hopefully we can have a good year this year.
I know you're a Buckeye fan. We've talked about this before. And I think I was thinking about 2017. When you're number one in the country, you really can't change your game, your playbook, because you run what makes you successful. I always thought the second race in 2017 must have been harder for you because you don't want to touch the car. It's perfect.
It is harder. We didn't really want to mess with very much. So that was a bit of a challenge, to be honest. But, you know, in the end, it worked out well for us. You know, the car was plenty quick. And also, you know, we just didn't have any – there was no bad luck, you know. Didn't get any weird yellows that hurt us or anything like that. We were able to just execute our plan. I think even in the second race, we had a bigger lead than the first. We had a 25-second lead or something. We were able to take off until the red flags there at the very end. But, you know, it was a great day, a great weekend for us, a lot of fond memories.
Is Belle Isle more physical or mental?
It's both. I would say, honestly, it's equal because physically you're tired. But when you become physically tired, you get mentally tired. And so it's you have to be able to balance those two.
How do you – have you blocked out any time next week after Indy? Is there a day that you can decompress before you get here? How does that work?
Well, unfortunately, no, because I've got to go do some stuff with one of my partners at Nationwide Insurance. So, you know, I guess Monday, you know, we have the banquet, and then Tuesday night I have a dinner I have to go to in Columbus, Ohio. So, no, and then, you know, I'll be well on my way up here Thursday morning. So it's there's not a lot of time to decompress, but maybe the week after that, you know, before we go to Texas, we'll get a little bit of a breathing room. But, you know, that's the world we live in. That's the life that we have. And, you know, wouldn't want to change it for anything else.
I heard Will Power say on Dale Jr.'s podcast that you guys' heart rate gets up around 190 during some of the races. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it can, for sure. Sometimes it gets, you know, super high, really intense, depending on the scenario. There's no doubt it can skyrocket.
So when I'm watching you guys, like when you're popping your visor and stuff, especially towards the end of the race, is that you trying to draw a deeper breath of air?
Just get air. You know,
okay.
Typically it's just to get cool air flowing through the cockpit. You know, we don't, while our cars are open cockpit, most of the air is designed to go over you. So you don't get a lot of air within the car. So, you know, typically you'll see guys crack the visor just to get some airflow, just a little bit of airflow to the face, stop some of the sweating and stuff like that.
So last thing, good luck at Indy, obviously. I mean, you know, it's fun to watch you down there. My son freaked out when you went back out in the fast lane to go try it, Indy, to qualify again. Was that a unanimous decision, or you guys, it was like a majority?
It was not unanimous.
Okay.
But it was the right decision. And, you know, we had to take a shot and try to make it happen. And, you know, God willing, it all worked out.
And then are you the kind of guy now that will just after that, you're just going to hit an 18 at a blackjack table? You're like, screw it, I'm lucky now?
No.
No?
No, because we got Indy to win first, and we'll find out after that.
Good luck. Thanks, Graham.
Thank you.
There you go, man. Graham Rahal, before that, Rick Mears. That was fun. Thank you so much to, again, everybody here in Detroit, DetroitGrandPrix.com, DetroitGP.com is the website. Get your tickets for that. Our friends with IndyCar, Pat Caparelli, everybody there, Kate, and, of course, the folks with Rahal Letterman to make that Graham Rahal interview possible. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun watching it. I'm really curious to see how this is all going to play out, but thanks so much for listening again. My name is Jim O'Brien, Big Jim's House Morning Show, WCSX, here in the Motor Cities where we're recording this. More indie stuff on the way. I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk with the winner next week and then also get ready for the Detroit Grand Prix here. Some more interviews as well. Lots of cool stuff going on. NASCAR, too, man. What a weekend. We got the Charlotte 600, Monte Carlo, right? And then you get the Indy 500. biggest weekend of motorsports. Thanks for checking it out. You can check me out on Twitter at WCSXJim. You can also subscribe below. Click that. Click your like. Give me some feedback on it as well. Be well. Go fast.